Hello, greetings. How are you? Welcome to Slimming World Podcast. Woo, one of my favourite subjects today, Anna. Oh, I love a bit of vegetable.
You are a plant girl now, aren't you? You're a fruit, you're a veggie, you're a plant girl all over.
I know. The fruit I'm still working at, if I'm honest, but I definitely love a little bit of vegetable. It's my favourite thing. I've always loved a good vegetable. Like, if you had to pick a favourite vegetable, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. Am I allowed a potato?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, but butternut squash. Butternut squash.
Ooh, I mean, yeah. I'd still go potato, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but I think butternut squash combination, kind of potato feel, but the properties of butternut squash are extraordinary.
For anyone who's also a fellow potato lover, we once did a podcast called Potatoes, Potatoes, Potatoes. That's in the back catalogue somewhere. Anyway, let's come back to this buzz term, I suppose, plant points. And I feel like the title of this podcast almost needs like a jingle, like plant power. Do you know what I mean? We're always looking out to kind of see what's happening in the science world, in the evidence-based world, and whether there's anything that we need to bring into this podcast. But fortunately for us, there is a whole team of people at Slimming World who do this as part of their everyday job. They're even more obsessed with that than me and Anna. and we're delighted to have, as we call her, friend of the podcast, Carolyn Pallister, back on today. Registered dietitian. I've got that one right. Yeah. With Slimming World. Carolyn, how are you? And can I ask you to say, what is your favourite vegetable?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a really tricky question, but I think I'm going to say a pepper, a red pepper.
Oh,
I'm glad you didn't say green, because I think green pepper should be illegal. Yeah.
I feel like they're very kind of versatile. I love them raw. I love them crunchy taste in a salad, but then also I love them cooked in all sorts. So I feel like that might be my favourite.
Wow. Okay. Well, the colour is important. We can come back to that later, right? I feel like you're teasing us into this subject. So this thing about plant points, are you able to kind of set the scene about maybe where this term has come from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly a term that I don't know, hopefully the listeners will have kind of seen on maybe food packaging or heard it on other podcasts or read about it in magazines and that type of thing. And it's all about, I guess, the power of plant diversity, I suppose. And where it all comes from is some researchers from something called the American Gut Project. And they did some research which found that people who eat 30 or more different plant foods over a week tend to have a more sort of diverse, what they call gut microbiome. So more variety of sort of good gut bacteria in their stomachs. And that's where it all comes from, really. The study itself is fascinating. It involved over 10,000 participants, and it involved participants from America, which is where it was led from. But they also had kind of other sites set up in the UK and Australia as well. So people from all those different countries took part. And the study itself actually got volunteers to provide really detailed dietary information, so recording everything that they were eating and drinking over a period of time. Alongside it, they also got them to collect stool samples. And that really allowed the researchers to look at sort of the gut bacteria that people had present in their gut alongside the dietary choices that they were making. So really interesting study. And what it ultimately found was that for those people that were eating 30 or more plants a week, their gut microbiome was so much healthier, so much more diverse. And there's lots of research that suggests sort of a healthy gut microbiome actually then is really linked to a number of health benefits. So that's why it's got such a focus on it, and has been being talked about more and more.
Yeah, we have done podcasts about gut health specifically with Alex, one of your colleagues. And a lot of that kind of talks about fibre. I mean, are we able to go into a bit more detail about what fibre is and why we need it?
Yeah, well, I mean, fibre is important for us for two reasons, I suppose. One, because it keeps things moving. In our gut, it helps keep us nice and regular, keeps things moving on. It kind of helps flush out, I suppose, our digestive system, because there's certain parts of fibre that our bodies just aren't designed to digest, and therefore it helps move things along. So that's one part of it. But the other part of fibre that's really important, it's kind of the other things it brings with it. And some of that is something called prebiotics. And that's different types, if you like, of these prebiotics that help to feed and stimulate the growth of these bacteria in our guts. And that's really, really beneficial for our health as well. And the reason plants, I guess, are the kind of topic of choice for this really, is because plants tend to be really high in fibre. So that's where we get our fibre from in our diet. And what we tend to find is people that eat plenty of sort of fibre-rich foods have better digestion, but it's also linked with things like positive and healthy immunity, better mental well-being, reduce our risk of diseases, things like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So really, really important for our overall health.
That's like so eat your greens.
Yeah, like how powerful these things that you put in your body that you just think, well, I know fruit and veg are good for me, but you don't quite realise like the extent to how good they are for you. As food optimizers, do you know what I love? That we're like covered, aren't we? We're eating such a variety and abundance of kind of plants and fruits and vegetables. Would you say food optimizers have kind of got this covered in their intake?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Food optimizing encourages to have such a variety of foods already, which is amazing. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, we're talking about 30 plants here, but five a day has been around for a number of years, something we're all really, really familiar with and still really important. Aiming to eat five portions of fruit and veg a day is great for us. What we know from our research is that our members absolutely smash that target. On average, our members eat about 8 portions of fruit and veg every day. So we know that our members, through food optimizing, are already having that great kind of plentiful diet. Where this takes it to a slightly different focus, I suppose, is it looks really about the importance of variety. So it's obviously well having 5 fruits and vegetables a day, but that might mean me having a banana today and tomorrow and the next day. So I'm getting my 5 a day in, but I'm having some of the same foods. Whereas this 30 plants a week really helps us to look at the diversity of our diet. So it encourages to look at having 30 different things over a week. And the benefit of that is that it brings lots of different kind of, lots of different nutrients, benefits, again, feeds that kind of prebiotics area. It brings lots of prebiotics feeding our bacteria and our gut. And that's kind of the added benefits, I suppose, that can bring over and above your kind of traditional 5 a day. But absolutely, food optimizing has members covered. We actually looked recently at one of our eating plans. We have various eating plans on our website, and we did a bit of a review of our latest one. And our eating plan, without even trying, packs in 48 different plant varieties. So if you're following food optimizing 100%, chances are you're probably already nailing this recommendation, I would say. In terms of the plant points, it's a really interesting one because it's your fruits and vegetables. So we've spoken about those and they're really important, but it includes extra things as well. So it includes your beans and pulses. It includes whole grain choices of things as well. So for whole grains, I'm talking about things like your Weetabix or your higher fibre carbs. So things like your whole grain rice or whole wheat pasta, they count as plant points as well because they're really rich in that fibre that's great for our gut. Nuts and seeds are in there as well. And even herbs and spices count as well towards it. Herbs and spices don't count as a whole point. They count as about a quarter point because we tend to use them in smaller amounts. But when you add up all of those different kind of food categories, it's easy to see how easily you can kind of get them in. And one of you touched at the start on colour as well. And that's what I love about this kind of recommendation, actually, or a different way of thinking about food. If you choose, say, a red pepper one day and then choose a green pepper the next day, that's 2 different points because the different colours that are kind of in the skin of that fruit or vegetable actually bring different health benefits to us. So the colour makes a difference as well. So it encourages to think about that real kind of rainbow on a plate, I suppose. How can you get different colours in? And that's a really nice concept to have, I think.
I was just thinking about like a stir fry. So imagine if you had like a stir fry bag that had a red pepper, a green pepper, an orange pepper. It's got some bean sprouts, I don't know, some onions, some mushrooms. And then I swapped like normal noodles to whole wheat noodles. Yeah. That's like 7 before I've even thought about it, isn't it? And yeah, then I add blueberries, strawberries and apple for breakfast. Like it's actually not as hard as you think, but actually just adding that variety, like frozen peppers, for example, would that, like a bag of them, there's like three or four different colors, would that be three or four different plant poisons?
Yeah,
See, if I can get
absolutely.
it, anyone can get it, can't they? But it's that, just thinking about how you're maybe food optimizing already and how you could just maybe shake it up to eat a green apple one day and a pink lady the next or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I love that you mentioned the kind of frozen vegetables there. Things like if you normally say have a bag of frozen peas, mix it up and get a bag of say frozen peas and sweet corn, that then increases it to two. If you normally buy kind of a tin of one variety of beans, if you mix that up and get mixed beans, you're getting three or four varieties then in that tin. So there's loads of kind of quick, easy switches you can make to really in kind of improve that diversity, or even things like lettuce. You know, if you normally buy, I don't know, a bag of rocket, if you change that for a bag of mixed leaves, you're probably getting three or four different types in there as well. So it's just about kind of how can I get more diversity into my diet? And it's quite a nice target to have, I think, to just think about what else, what other varieties or what other colours can I build into my plate today?
I feel like Claire and I are going to get competitive. Like, look, mine's got 14 in it. How many has yours got? Like, you could sneak some new make and you're like, I'm
Well,
interested.
it's funny you say that because knowing that we were doing this podcast, I set myself and Matt a bit of a challenge to see how we got on. And so we did a couple of weeks of this because I think, like, you know, yeah, maybe doing one meal or one day is something, but actually looking at how you do it over the course of the week, which is this 30 plant points over the week, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And actually, I found it quite challenging because what it really exposes is if you perhaps have been doing food optimizing for a while and you kind of can get stuck in your way. So for me, what it really exposed was my breakfasts were incredibly similar. Like, you know, I was having porridge oats and I was measuring my A, measuring my healthy extra A for calcium, measuring my healthy extra B for my fiber, and I was getting speed in. You know, I wasn't just having a banana. I was getting my one third speed in with my berries. But I would quite often, as a bit of a go-to, because mornings are not my strong point, I'll be honest, I was having the same thing. And so, in terms of plant points, that wasn't very varied. And also, I was actually getting a little bit bored. So I took this to my group actually, and I said, I think I need to mix up my breakfast. I want to do a breakfast challenge. Can people just help me out? Post it on our Facebook group for the members. Tell me what you're having for breakfast. I want to hear as much variety as possible. And it was really interesting to see what people did, whether they planned it the night before, whether it was more a sweet thing, whether it was more of a savory, but it gave me some different ideas. And I've been really great at maybe planning my evening meals, but perhaps I'd forgotten to have that creativity, that variety in my breakfast. So then I was able to mix it up and move on to like scrambled tofu with some mushrooms and tomatoes on a bagel. Maybe then I'm having like homemade hash browns with a bit of plant-based bacon, you know, and get some more like tomato spinach. Maybe we've got some spinach growing in the garden that's holding on for dear life. So, you know, I was starting to kind of think about it in a different way, but what I actually realized was that opened up for me a way to get more of these plant points in. And I suppose also what we should perhaps say, Carolyn, is plant points don't necessarily mean plant-based diet. It's not about a vegan diet either.
Yeah, really good point to make. It's very much about just how anybody can get more plant-based foods into their diet, and more variety. And it doesn't mean that you need to eat a solely plant-based diet to be able to meet it at all. And I'd also say that if the 30, it does feel and can feel like a lot, and it can be quite tricky to track in some ways. I think that if you're someone that really loves writing down what you're eating and kind of having some kind of checklist and ticking it off, it probably would play brilliantly to you. And you know, have a go and see where you're at now and where you can add extra in. If the thought of kind of trying to track something else and aiming for 30 a week feels really overwhelming, all I'd say is see it just as like each day, where can I get in something extra? Because any extra variety that we build into our diets with plant-based foods is going to help provide more of those prebiotics. It's going to really help with our gut. And so kind of take it at one step at a time and just see where you can build in extra bits here, there, and everywhere. And I love your idea of kind of challenging the group to help you with your breakfast ideas, because we get so much inspiration, don't we, from what other people are doing. And we can definitely get stuck in a bit of a rut with what we're eating if we're not careful.
I just love the fact that actually, as someone who's been food optimizing for a long time, just talking about this has made me think about, okay, so I'm going to make spaghetti bolognese tonight. Is there any way that I could actually play around with that so I got some more in? And actually what that's going to probably lead me to do is get more speed food in. And actually getting more speed food in is only going to be beneficial to my weight loss, isn't it? So it's almost maybe sometimes you just need to put different spin on your way of food optimizing, like Claire's different breakfast. What this may get us to do is think about eating things that perhaps we haven't eaten, because we know there's such an array, you know, there's over 350 free foods. But I see this in a lot of my members, we get stuck in the same lane, don't we? We go to the supermarket each week and we buy the same things. Just thinking about the plant points might make us shop differently, slightly tweak our recipes a little bit, and maybe enjoy food optimizing in a different way. Or if we've taken it for granted, I always find that sometimes you just take the free food for granted, and sometimes you need to go back and fall back in love. And this might be another way to get you to fall back in love.
I mean, is it worth kind of recapping for people who perhaps don't know food optimizing plan, what free food and speed free food is, Carolyn?
Yeah, of course. So the kind of basis of food optimizing has always been about being able to fill up on healthy, delicious ingredients and being able to lose weight really effectively without needing to deprive yourself of anything or feel like you're having to limit yourself or almost, you know, go hungry when trying to lose weight. So free foods are amazing. As Anna said, we've got over 350 free foods listed, and they are kind of your basic foods from your fruits and vegetables. They are carbohydrate rich foods, things like your pasta, rice, potatoes, lean meats, fish and poultry as well, all cooked in a healthy way, beans, pulses, lentils, plant-based proteins, all of those foods, those kind of everyday ingredients are what we call free foods. These are foods that are low in energy density, so they're quite low in calories for their volume, and they're also filling as well. They're high in what we call satiety. So they're great foods to kind of base your meals on and to fill us up and to kind of base a healthy eating plan on. And then we have speed free foods as well. Those foods are fruits and vegetables that are even lower in calories than your free foods. So we encourage members to have about a third of their plate on any kind of main meal where it makes sense, built up of those speed free foods, because they're, like I say, lowest in calories, nice big volume. So it means that we can eat a really plentiful plate of food, really fill us up without taking in too many calories, therefore really, really effective for weight loss.
Best thing, never go hungry. That's what I think, yeah.
You made a really good point there about like frozen foods as well, like, you know, frozen peas, sweet corn, even frozen fruits. You know, I think, you know, one of the things that people can perhaps worry about is once they have to potentially start buying more things is it's more expensive. And the idea with having the frozen, I think, really helps bring down the cost of these things, because it's all right saying, you know, get 30 plant points, but people might be like, but if I live on my own or there's only two of us, there could potentially be a lot of food in the fridge that we're not going to necessarily eat before the best before date as well.
Yeah, really, really good point. And yeah, frozen food can be an absolute godsend, really. It's generally quick and easy and you can just have it in the freezer and you've got it there. So we've spoken about things like mixed vegetables, peas, sweet corn, mixed berries are a great one. You know, if you normally have, say, strawberries on your breakfast, if you go for mixed berries, that's adding in more variety. It's generally a cheaper way to buy that fruit and, you know, really, really versatile to add in there. I'd say that things like mixed vegetables, tinned can be a good one to remember as well. You know, if they're tinned in the kind of in water or in natural juice and you drain that off, then they are still free foods as well. So they're worth having, and they're ones that can kind of, well, they last, don't they? So they're ones that you can have in the cupboard ready to have, and they are generally sort of more cost effective as well than the fresh varieties. So I think aiming to have a whole host of different things in your freezer and in your cupboards to rely on at any point are great ways where it doesn't need to cost lots more money. It's also worth saying that things like, I think I'm right in saying that often if you buy in, say, a pack of three red peppers, they're often more expensive than the mixed varieties, actually, because red peppers tend to be a bit more popular. They're a little bit sweeter in taste. But if you go for, say, a mixed bag where you may be getting some green and some yellow ones in there as well, a little bit cheaper, and they're building that variety in as well and that diversity into your diet.
See, maybe that's because people like Anna don't like the green ones. Yeah, so Anna's like, three red, three
Yeah,
red.
no, I get the mix. I get the red and the
Oh.
orange. They're the ones I like. Can I just to clarify, because I know there may be people out there like me that gets a bit confused. Tinned vegetables are free when we're drying them, but fruit isn't. So you'd need to thin that or look at your healthy extra choices for that, just in case anybody like me is liable to go and think that washing your tinned pears is going to make them free. I used to get a little bit confused, but yeah, tinned veg and jarred veg, I think, is so much cheaper as well. And I sometimes what I find is if I open a tin of veg, I might try and use it in different recipes. Whereas if it's just in the fridge, it might just linger until it goes a bit wonky or a bit, like that. You can't see what I'm doing, but it looks a bit dead. Whereas the tinned, because I've opened the tinned, I'm more likely to go and use it rather than just to leave it in the fridge. So there's a little tip there.
Yeah. Now, nuts and seeds. This is an interesting kind of part of the six categories, I suppose they call these plant points. Can you kind of give us an idea? So nuts and seeds, I think a lot of people get maybe a bit confused or afraid about maybe using nuts and seeds within their food optimizing plan. What's the deal here? People are like, are they good for me? Are they not good for me? Why do we have to measure them? What's the deal there, Carolyn?
Yeah, absolutely. So nuts and seeds are, they are good for our health. They are rich in what we call kind of healthy fats. So they're rich in unsaturated fats and oils. And that's what makes them good for us because they provide some of those essential fatty acids, if you like, into our diets. They're also usually a source of protein and also some fiber as well. So they're good. They're good in our diet. I'd almost call them like nutrient powerhouses in a way. They're quite densely packed with what they've got in them, and that's why I encourage members to measure them. And that's why they sit as part of the healthy extras category within food optimizing, because they do have so much packed into them that you could easily there's lots packed into a small volume, so you could easily eat quite a lot of calories without eating too many of them. So we advise members to include nuts and seeds as part of their diet, but in a measured way, which means they're still getting those benefits from those healthy nutrients, but it's not jeopardizing their weight loss. Because I don't know about you, but something like a packet of peanuts, a big share a bag, I could easily munch my way through a lot of those because they don't necessarily fill us up that quickly. So important part of the diet, but in a measured way to help protect our weight losses.
These suggestions about ideas of how you could use them. So let's say you're using some nuts as part of your healthy extra B, so for your fiber option. I was just reading this article here that's for members actually, and it's called the Plant Points feature, which is available on Lifeline Online. And there it talks about options like sprinkle them on salads, stir into yogurt, enjoy as a snack. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Sprinkle them on salads. I've never really thought about doing that.
In a stir fry, enjoy
Yeah.
the texture and crunch. But you know what? It's knowing that actually how many you can have. I'm a girl that gets chopped so fine that they can just go so far in a stir fry or a salad, and it's a bit of a crunch. Because like you were saying with the peanuts, like I could nail a handful of peanuts in one, a go, and that's like it's not a filling way to use it, but it's a great way to add variety, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, I suppose what you were saying about like variety, I remember, Anna, we did a podcast where we got our packs out and we kind of went through and highlighted like our kind of go-to ones. But then I definitely have scribbled all over my pack of like kind of putting question marks next to ones I've never tried. And I remember taking some of those, and then you can put them into on Lifeline Online. There's thousands of recipes, and you can type in, I don't know, something like celeriac. You're not, it's not necessarily like a standard, like a vegetable, you know? It's not going to be in every recipe, but if you type in, I don't know, celeriac into the search bar of the recipes on the Slimming World app on Lifeline Online, it's going to come up with all the different recipes that have celeriac. And that could just be the kind of in for you to work out A, how to use it, B, what it might look
Use.
like. That's important. And
Google it.
C, what on earth do I do with it? Do you know
Yeah,
what I mean? Because that's where I was a few years ago. I was like, raw ginger, what does that look like?
and it is in the supermarket nowadays as well, because we've got so much variety. There are very obscure things, and you think, what the hell is that and how do I use it? And actually, without Google, you might not know. So, yeah, the search feature is brilliant. It's also very good at, I would say, if you're wanting to use an ingredient that you maybe use all the time, looking at a different way of getting it in. You know, if you do the same thing with your bean sprouts every week, it could give you a new way to do it. Bean sprouts maybe isn't the best example there, but you know, like your pasta or your chicken or something like that. What are you doing with your bean sprouts? I think there's only about two ways I've ever used bean sprouts. Cook them or not cook them. They're nice in a salad, but anyway, that's another story, isn't it?
It could be a fake mustache.
Yeah, you could, couldn't they? You could line them up as counters when you're doing the maths homework with the children. Done that before. Oh,
That was
another
beans,
story.
not bean sprouts, but
Bean sprouts. No, you could line the bean sprouts up as counters for 10. I've been desperate many a time. Shall we move on?
I
Yeah.
mean, I suppose the key thing about this, which a lot of us, when we're looking to lose weight, is we don't always think nutrition first. A lot of times we think, what's the number on the scales? That can be our focus of like, what do I need to do to get that number down as quick as possible? And I suppose when we come back to these subjects, it's about, hang on a sec, let's just take a step back because we need to look after our health to lose weight, like in a safe way that we're going to be able to maintain, but equally look after things like calcium, fiber, all of that good stuff, right, Carolyn?
Yeah, absolutely. At Slimming World, we're absolutely here to help support members to lose weight, and food optimizing is designed to be very effective at helping people to achieve that goal. But what's also built in and is really important is that it's a healthy way to do it, because we absolutely see food optimizing and that kind of way of eating, that way of life, as a way of life, the way that people make changes to their diet long term. Therefore, it's not a faddy approach that means you're going to be left deficient in something at the end of the week or the end of the month or what have you. It's absolutely about supporting members to make lifelong changes to how they cook, prepare, eat, shop, do all of those things to eat a really healthy, balanced diet. So that's why the plan is based so much around making sure we're helping people make the most of their nutrition alongside their weight loss so that they can sort of lose weight in a really healthy, sustainable way in the long term and protect their health for the long term as well.
It's so reassuring because I was of that kind of ilk before I found Slimming World, where I'd done some really interesting and maybe silly things to lose weight. And actually, I now, why I sit here for so long is because it looks after me, looks after my weight, but looks after my health and my body and my nutrients. And that's such a reassuring feeling to know actually I'm losing weight or I've lost weight, but my body is being taken care of because you don't real I didn't realize when I was younger the choices I'd made were going to have an impact on my health, were going to have an impact on my bones and my teeth. So actually knowing we've taken care of, I say we, the brilliant people like Carolyn have taken care of that so that we don't have to think so much about it is really reassuring, isn't it?
And I suppose also that the fact that Slimming World's been around for over 50 years, this evidence-based, scientific-backed kind of plan is what's really key. I know that that's something that I look for, when I'm looking at undertaking and putting my trust, I suppose, in reaching out to get that support. And I love also, Carolyn, you and your team, we love hearing and meeting members of your team to just kind of get a little snippet, an insight into what you're looking at. Because, I guess the world of science is constantly developing and changing, and you're always looking at, okay, what's that? Are we making sure that we're still like on the right path here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what so myself and the rest of the team love about our roles, really. We love food and we love nutrition. That's why we do what we do. And we love finding ways to support people to eat in a healthy way. And I guess the approach we take, with food optimizing, you're right, it's been around for over 55 years, and it's evolved a little bit since it started, but it was always founded on such strong principles that it's not needed to be changed dramatically, which is great and reassuring. But what we do is we regularly review our members' intake. So we do research studies where we invite members to record for us what they are eating on a day-to-day basis. And then we analyze that and we look at, okay, how are members interpreting food optimizing and where does that sit them against kind of the healthy eating guidelines? And what's always reassuring is that we see that our members not only are losing weight, but they're also eating a really healthy, balanced diet, which is providing their body with the nutrients it needs. You know, they're meeting their calcium requirements. They're doing really well with their fiber intake. They are meeting kind of all of their micronutrient needs and all of those different things. If we ever find that, you know what, there's an area we need to tweak here, then that's the kind of updates that we make to the plan to make sure that we're constantly sort of evolving and fine-tuning as the science evolves and as sort of recommendations and that type of thing change along the way. Alongside looking at our member intakes, we also regularly review what the latest science is telling us. What's the latest research saying? You know, just recently there was the new National Diet and Nutrition Survey came out, which is where the government actually look at population intakes of different foods and different nutrients. And so we compare our members' intakes to that and we see, you know, how are our members doing compared to the general population? The short answer is really well. Our members are eating a much healthier diet than your average person, which is really, really reassuring. So yeah, we do a lot to make sure that we're keeping the plan as up to date as possible and to make sure it's evolving with trends, you know. And yeah, I was talking about plant diversity here today. It's something that is good for our health to build in more variety, more colour into our plates, all of those different things. And that's why we're talking about it today, because we want to keep our members up to date with all of the latest thinking and the latest things that they can do to really protect their health long term.
Wow, love that. I mean, you know, if people here are listening and they're thinking, look, I want to find out how I can lower the risk of heart disease. I want to reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. I want to get better blood pressure. I want to reduce my cholesterol levels. You know, I want to work out how I can feel better in myself, in my mental health. I mean, everything that you're talking about here in, you know, making sure that we have enough of that fiber, that we're filling up on this good stuff, it's already kind of there, locked in within the science behind food optimizing. That's really powerful stuff. Thank you, Carolyn. I just love, you're like an oracle. It's brilliant. Every time you're just so on it. And I'm inspired by you and your team, because for someone who had so little knowledge about food, nutrition, and my relationship with food, it's amazing that I get to spend like half an hour actually on the same Zoom call talking to you, but also that the work that you do has had such a massive impact on my life, I know on Anna's life, on our fellow members. So keep up the great work and big up to you and your team.
Thanks, Claire. That's really lovely. And I love being part of this podcast as well and chatting with you guys. I always learn new stuff as well by talking to you guys.
What, like Anna doesn't like green peppers?
And much more.
Right, we'll round it off there. Next week we'll have a members podcast. In fact, let me just consult my thing. Anna, we've slipped in the puns again. It's Christmas puns. Next week's episode is called Take Back the Reins, but not reins, Take Back the Reindeers. I mean, sorry about that. It's Christmas time already. No, it's not really. But we're kind of asking that question, where do you want to be 12 weeks from now? Right. I'll leave you to think about that. Ponder that over the next week. Anna is off to go and have her butternut squash, I imagine.
I mean, it wasn't the thing I was thinking about first and foremost, but it will be in the recipe tonight, I hope.
Have a great week, whatever you get to. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks. Lovely to talk to you.
Peace out.
Bye for now.